So obviously you guys, I know the news right now is Ray, so I'd be happy to answer any questions you guys have. I mean, I think some of the obvious things are, you know, just right off the bat, you know, we've had coaches that have been with Ray for 4 years and Vic and Ed. So I think that was part that helped us through this process. We've talked about it for a long time now. So this was a thorough, you know, well-discussed decision. But I think, honestly, the knowledge of Vic and Ed, that helped a lot in this process. You know?
So he's got a sexual assault case that I guess he was a subject of an investigation.
So those things we've looked into.
Okay.
And I can tell you this, we know those are ongoing, but we wouldn't be where we're at right now if we didn't feel comfortable with where that's at. So it's been thorough, and just to be straight up about the whole thing too. I mean, we talked about it, and then at one point Ray reaches out and says, "Hey, I want to fly my own way in. I want to come meet with George in ownership, and I want to talk this out." So he came in on his own dime, and met with George for 2+ hours
here
in Chicago.
And
talked about everything. So then we kind of came out of that meeting and discussed it further and further and further. And again, back to, I think, Vic and Ed's background, with the combination of that, it helped us come to this conclusion.
What did Vic and Ed tell you?
They just talked about, hey, about the, and this was very early in the process when we hired Vic, just about the, hey, this is the type of person he really is. And this is the type of teammate that he is and the leader that he is and all those, because I knew what he was as a player, but I didn't have that inner knowledge of what he was, you know, in the locker room or as a teammate or as a person. So that helped a lot. I mean, that was huge. And then, you know, you talk to other players, other teammates around the league or other coaches. All that helped lead us to this conclusion. So,
are you satisfied that he's not guilty? Because this could seem like if that goes down the wrong way, it's going to blow up.
Yeah, you know, we wouldn't be here right now if we didn't feel comfortable with where that's at. And honestly, it's a 1 year prove it deal, you know. So, and we wouldn't have gone down this road if that wasn't the case either. So,
are you concerned he may be suspended this year still? Is that still on the table, or is that?
We know that's ongoing. You know but again, we wouldn't have gotten to this point if we didn't feel okay with where we're at with that. So we feel comfortable where the direction that's heading. So, but again, it's a 1 year prove it deal, so we can, you know, we protected ourselves.
Did you consider maybe perception? I mean, you said you traded Brandon Marshall and then you bring in Ray.
We look at it on a case by case basis. So I think you just got all these decisions, and we take this thing very, very important, but you just isolate on it on a case by case basis. And again, this was, I mean, we talked about this a long, this has been ongoing for a long time now. So a case by case basis, individual basis, and we feel good with where we're at with this one right now.
What about him as a player? He stands out.
First of all, he's a strong, stout run defender. He's played in, I mean, you guys have asked the questions leading up to this. You know, we're transitioning into 3-4, so obviously the defensive linemen are important, and it's the position we're trying to get stronger at. So he's not only a 3-4 defensive end, but a 3-4 defensive end that's played in Vic's defense. So we know exactly how he'll fit in. And you know, I've scouted him a lot over the years, and I just know what he'll bring to the table in regards to especially run defense. And he's just a physical, tough player, high motor player. I've heard great things about his work ethic and his passion and approach to the game. And again, I think when you look at all these players, you got to remember we have scouting reports and character background going back to college and high school. So we researched them thoroughly all the way back. And I mean, quite honestly, George called his parents. George called Ray's parents. I mean, that's how. And so we've had a lot of discussions, and you know, it's. And again, we feel good about where we're at right now.
Did the Saints pass him on his knee coming out?
On Ray? No, but I don't remember that where we were medically. We feel good about it now, but and he's still going to come in and take his physical later this week. So it's all pending his physical.
Ryan, did Virginia sign off on this?
We went through it with George, and George communicated with Virginia. So yeah, ownership has all these things, and you know, George told me when all this went down, he goes, I don't want to get involved in personnel decisions unless there's character involved, and then I want to be involved in it. So George was involved every step of the way, and I'm glad he was, you know. So.
Are you concerned this sends the wrong message?
I'm not. I think, hey, again, we looked at it on a case-by-case basis, and I think it's a one-year prove-it deal, and everything we do in our business, every decision I make, there's risk involved. I understand that, and again, I think then it's just on me to be thorough through this whole process, and I feel good about where we're at. And again, I think the intimate knowledge that Vic and Ed had helped a lot, helped me feel good about this right now.
Without asking you to divulge too many personal things from him,
is there a common why he wound up in trouble twice in 4 months? I mean, is there any? What soothed you that it wasn't a big deal?
I think just talking to him one on one, and then again talking to his coaches, you know, and again we take this serious, you know. But I think just going through that process, talking to him one-on-one, having him come in on his own dime, talking to his coaches, talking to ex-teammates that have been with him, all that led to this conclusion.
Does the possibility of a suspension or something influence you to have, you know, like you do coming at the end of training camp, if there's an injury, you have to keep an extra guy at a position group, for example. Do you have to protect yourself, hedge a little bit more with this or no?
No, we'll have enough depth. We'll feel okay. I think the contract that we had structured for this, I feel good about from that end. The contract helps protect us, but we'll have enough depth where I feel okay about it. And again, we, in regards to any suspension or the legal process, we feel comfortable with the direction that's heading, or we wouldn't have been here. We wouldn't have done this.
When you look at this draft class, and you talked to us in that writer's roundtable about quarterbacks and swaying at these quarterbacks and stuff, what's your philosophy as you go into this thing in terms of possibly adding one through the draft?
Adding the quarterback?
Quarterback.
Yeah. No, I think every year, I mean, I think it's a good idea to add a quarterback every year, you know? And sometimes that's going to be in the upper rounds. Sometimes that might be later rounds or college free agency. I mean, I played with Tony Romo at Eastern Illinois, so I know what you can do in college free agency there. So, no, I think it's a critical position. And because of that, you can take a swing every year at it, you know? Increase your odds.
What's your evaluation of, I guess, Mariota? Does the system he come from make things a little bit more problematic?
I think you got a lot. You have to watch a lot of tape on those guys to feel good with it. And we've done enough research on him where, you know, I think he's a good quarterback. You know, that doesn't scare me away from him at all. You know?
With Brandon gone and you guys add a slot, and people put two and two together and thinking, well, with a good wide receiver class,
yeah,
in the draft. You've talked about the draft in terms, or about free agency in terms of that enables you to draft the best player possible.
Yeah.
Where does wide receiver fall in?
I feel like last year was deep at receiver, and this year is too. So there, if that's an area we decide to address in the draft, it's deep. And so I feel optimistic that we could do that there. You know, there's a lot of good receivers in this year's draft.
Do you sense that it's becoming more, I guess, smoother transition for receivers coming out of college? The guys are making that jump and that transition easier now?
It feels that way. When I first got into the league, it didn't feel that way. And I remember us having discussions about it. But recently, it does feel that way. And I don't know if that's just because the talent's better. I don't think the offenses have changed that much. But it does feel like receivers have come in and made more of an immediate impact sooner. I mean, Brandon Cooks did that in New Orleans last year pretty fast, so I saw it firsthand.
Does that change the way you look at the draft with receivers then, just knowing that there can be more?
I just think you look at each draft and realize, okay, last year's draft and then again this year's draft, it's a talented pool of receivers. So you just look at them on an individual basis and see their skill set and know that they can come in and have a big impact right away. So, and I think about not just receiver but any position. I think one of the dangers is you look at our depth chart right now, and John will talk about these green magnets. So wherever we have needs, we have green magnets. And we have a lot of green magnets. We have a lot of needs. And one of the competitive part of you wants to fix it all right now, you know? And that can be dangerous because you can overspend at this point in free agency. But I got to remind ourselves that, hey, we still have the second wave, third wave of free agency. We have the draft. We have college free agency. We have preseason scouting. We can claim guys. We can trade for guys. There's a lot of other avenues that are still out in front of us to acquire players. It's not just right now.
So you're looking primarily at like one-year deals, like Ray and Jarvis is another one.
There's a lot of good options right now in one-year deals on guys, and we're healthy enough with our cap where we can do that. So yeah, I like guys coming in motivated on kind of prove-it contracts. if you know, if I could say that. So I think that's good.
But you know, John talked about waiting to see until you get the guys on grass, until they get on the field, as far as what you do with Jared or Willie or anything. But don't you have to kind of have an idea of what they are going to be before you? I mean, you don't go out and get Pernell McPhee unless you know that you need.
You're right, because we're trying to project how they're all going to fit in. But I think but what's good about like Pernell is his flexibility. So you can say, okay, he's going to play 3-4 outside linebacker, but if we're getting our best pass rushers on the field, he's flexible enough to do multiple things, just like Houston is. So I don't think you can have enough good pass rushers. And I think Seattle is an example of that. So if the right pass rusher is there in the first round, we'll take that, you know? So I think you think about this is a passing league now, so the best way to disrupt the passing game is to hit the quarterback. And so the more pass rushers we can accumulate, the better we're going to be.
But you've gotten bigger, too. I mean, Pernell is huge, and as a linebacker. And then, you know, if you put Lamar Houston outside.
There's a lot of size.
And then Jenkins. Blanky. The other DM.
Yeah, I think.
Willie Young.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
No, Willie Young.
Jarvis.
Yeah. I think, and we pay attention. Another thing we pay attention to is not just their size, but one of the most important traits is their length. And Pernell's got incredible length. A lot of these guys got length because that aids you in your pass rush. It aids you in shedding blocks and gaining separation. So that's something I think with pass rushers and defensive linemen and also corners, length is something we really pay attention to.
John's talking about this projection, and specifically with Lamar Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You have Jared and Willie who are making this move into space, haven't really done it before, but Lamar has. How far back are you going with his tape to get a feel for what he can do?
With Lamar Houston? Yeah. I studied him heavily when he became a free agent from Oakland, so I feel good about that. So, you know, and I think sometimes I feel like, hey, the ability to play in space is important for a 3-4 outside linebacker, but if we had a pie chart, it's actually kind of a small slice. The most important thing is the ability to rush the passer and then set the edge. And yeah, if he can drop and play in space, that's good, but they're primarily just dropping out and covering the flat. It's nothing, it's not like we're asking for.
I was probably, incorrectly being synonymous with playing from a 2-point stance, at least being able to rush the passer that way.
Yeah, and Lamar is excellent at doing that too. Okay. So, and same thing with Pernell. Like you see them rushing from a 3-point stance or a 2-point stance, and effective in both ways. Okay. So we chart their sacks a lot, or their pressures, and sometimes you'll find out that, hey, this guy's just getting all his pressure from one side or just from a 3-point stance or whatever. And I think with those guys, you come to the conclusion that their pressures come in multiple ways. Okay. So it's not like they're just comfortable in one situation.
How do you measure what Jared has left?
And Jared?
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a couple. First of all, I know last year he was sick. You know, he dropped a lot of weight during the season. I think I factored that into the equation. But it's hard when these players get older. It's hard to know when they're really reaching that point. But I'll know more when I see him live in person. But I liked him when he was coming out in free agency last year. And I know last year he didn't have the production that he wanted. But again, we're looking forward to going forward. We'll see in OTAs and minicamp.
What kind of roster, I mean, in terms of numbers with New Orleans when you were 3-4, how many linebackers do you envision carrying? I mean, it seems that with a 4-3, you carry six. Are you looking at carrying eight guys?
Eight to nine guys. A lot of bodies there. And again, I don't think we can have enough 3-4 outside linebackers. And I think also, hey, we might come to the conclusion going forward that, hey, this guy, he actually can play defensive end in this scheme. There's a couple guys that could do that. So there's versatility with a couple of these players. Well, anybody that's 290 pounds is kind of right on the edge of being able to do both. So.
What are you thinking though of five technique? Not Jerry. You're not gonna have Jerry get up to 290 or.
No, but a couple of these guys can do both. You know, so I mean, Lamar's done both and Pernell's done both. So a couple guys have done both. You know.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.